All right, so here's a song that you all know.
Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. We are the salt of the earth, called to let the people see the love of God in you and me. We are the light of the world, not to be hidden but be seen. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. We are the hands of Christ, reaching out to those in need. The face of God for all to see. We are the spirit of hope. We are the voice of peace. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world.
I'm sorry. So let your love shine on. Let it shine for all to see. Go make a difference in the world. And the Spirit of Christ will be with us as we go. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference.
All right, amen.
Here's going to be another new song for you. It comes from Psalm 91, Be With Me, Lord. And I think it's really appropriate in this time and age, you know, when we need to rely on Jesus. We need to rely on God to be with us, even in times of trouble.
Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. With me, Lord. No evil shall snare you. No harm come upon your home. God sends to you His angels to guard you on your way. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Because of your love, because of your faithfulness, God will indeed be with you to save you from all fear. Be with me,
my God, my Savior, has They can stay there. Don't worry. There's nothing on there.
Okay.
It's all fine. I'm fine. That was actually theatrics on my part.
I gave
you a chance. Huh? So now you're asking, why would you do that? Right? I have a very good reason. If you remember a couple weeks back, 3-4 weeks ago, I brought a message about what I see in this church as being very good, what we do very well. I'm going to bring another message about what I believe this church does very well. I wanted you to see it. I want you to see it in a way that you won't forget it. I'm going to ask you, and my wife told me, Tony, you might be getting in trouble here. Okay? I want you to raise your hand for me if, for even a brief moment, you felt a little bit of concern for my well-being, okay? Please raise them. Hold them up if you felt any concern at all. Hold them up high. Now, I'm told that we don't like to participate. Pedro, you had no concern? Oh, thank you. All right. Now, I know there's some here that probably, you know, but I think that you all had something. I want you to put them hands back up, please. Church, look around. Look around. Look at the hands are up. Come on, girls, I know you care. Look around at the number of people here that are holding their hand up. Okay. Like I said, I want you to remember this, because we're coming into times, I believe, that we may not always have this church building, access to it. We may not always have the gathering that we have. And then maybe we will. But one thing that I do know we'll always have is that love and concern for one another. Okay? Now, I'm going to speak to you on something you all know. You all read it. You probably know it better than I do. But we're going to speak about the Good Samaritan. One day, an expert in the religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. So it already acknowledges that it was a test. Now, this is a expert in the religious law. Who would know the answer to religious questions? Okay, I apologize. I am Luke 10. Verse 25. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him the question, "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" Would not an expert in the law know the answer to that, or should he? Shouldn't they? I would say so, yes. Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say?" He put it right back to the gentleman. "You're the expert, you tell me." Okay. "The law of Moses, how do you read it?" And the man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind." Okay, let's stop there for a second. You must, first of all, love, then the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, how do we describe the heart? Well, that's all of our giving, all of our concern, all that we have, all of our emotion, should love the Lord with all of our emotion. Let's just sum it up in that way, if you would. Let's love the Lord. We need to, we must love the Lord with all of our emotions. With your soul. There should be a hunger, a void, if you wish, a need in our soul to be more about the Lord, to be nearer to him, to know him, to walk in his ways. There needs to be that. All your strength, all my strength is declining these days, but I still want to give all I have. Stand firm. He is the rock. with all your mind. How can these other things go anywhere, amount to anything, if I don't have the Lord in my mind? You remember the old Pharisees? They would actually forget the name of it, but they would put scripture in a box and tie it to their forehead so the scripture was close to their mind. It was that important. These are how he says, this is how the expert of the law says you should love. And love your neighbor as yourself. So now, let me just point out something to you. Everyone here in this church that raised a hand, you demonstrated to me a love for your neighbor. And I thank you for that. This is a very loving church. I had no idea that Pedro was going to put out the plea. I had no idea that he was going to say what he had said about what this church did for him and his wife, his family, 16 years ago. I had no idea that was going to come out. But you know what? 16 years ago, this church responded to a need for somebody we didn't even know at that time. And we've been blessed by it over and over and over again. Pedro is now ordained as a pastor of this church because of that act of kindness, because of that heart that we have as a church body to help those in need. He put out a plea for those same people now that have been hit again. You know what? I assure you, this church is going to respond. Why? Not because we have to. Because that's our nature. That's our heart. That's one of the things this church is so very good at. I praise God for it. I've been on the receiving end of this. I've told you many times about my wife when she was blind. I didn't have the money to pay for that kind of a cataract surgery. But I went and took a job on the road, and I was going to pay for it. This time I came back to make my second $500 payment, guess what? I don't know who, other than the church. I have no idea who paid that, but it was clear. I had to ask the lady, are you sure? Are you sure? This church body stepped forward and assisted me. There's been multiple times I've been helped by people in this church. I want you to do me a favor. Raise your hand again if you would, please. If you have been helped in some way by somebody in this body, raise your hand, please. Look around again. Look around. Look at the response. This is an amazing body. This is an amazing body. You won't find this in every church body. I am so blessed that the Lord has brought me here. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right, said Jesus. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Oh, I'm sorry, I think I skipped something here. Who is my neighbor? Why would this expert of the law ask that question? And who is my neighbor? Jesus spotted it right away and took and turned it right back around into this man's face, made him face his own heart. You see, what the man was actually saying is, I am an expert of the law. I am. I'm special. Okay? More than likely, he lived in the upper portion of the community. He probably lived in a gated section, you know, had a nice little mansion to himself. And because he was special, he had achieved a certain level of respect and honor. Now, are not those people in my neighborhood also on my level, my neighbors? Of course they are. But must I go outside the walls of my gated community and love them as if they are my neighbor? You see, I'm Jewish. I'm a Pharisee. Which, by the way, was not necessarily a bad thing. It was a very well-educated Jewish person in the law. So he says, who are my neighbors? Who must I include in this? You know the answer, right? And who are my neighbors? And Jesus replied with an illustration. Okay, this is the fun part. A Jewish man, was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money. They beat him up. They left him half dead beside the road. Okay, this is a Jewish man who's been beat up by bandits, left on the side of the road. Who should be concerned about this Jewish man? You would think that it would certainly be a Jewish priest. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the man lying in the ditch, there, he chose to cross over to the other side of the road and passed him by. Now, why would he do that? Anybody got any idea? Think about this. Why would I not take time for a fellow Jew? If I'm a Jewish priest, why would I not take time for a fellow Jew who's been beat up, hurt, robbed? Because I am a priest and I serve. And if I touch that man, I'm unclean. And do you know the ritual I would have to go through to get clean again? I wouldn't be able to go serve in the temple today. I would have to stand down, go take, whatever the ritual was. We all know there was great ones. So it would be an inconvenience for this temple priest to help this man. Isn't that sad? I'm going to share to you in a little bit where I failed in exactly that way. By chance, the Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. This way he could ignore him and say, I didn't really see him. It would be an inconvenience for me. Too much trouble. Somebody will help him. A temple's assistant, a Levite, came by, walked over, looked at him lying there. He actually walked over, looked at the man lying there, and made a decision. He also passed by on the other side of the road. He walked back to the other side of the road and walked off, ignoring the man. This is a temple assistant. This is another man of God who should know the law, who should know what's expected of him. If they can quote the first and second of the greatest commandments, surely they understand what that is, right? Here's the problem. I'm probably guilty of this, so don't. I've been heard it told that for the Christian, the greatest distance to cross is only 18 inches. Can you get that? I can get it in here. I can read, study, and I know every verse, and I can memorize it, and I get it in here. But somehow it doesn't make it from here to that 18 inches of the heart where the emotions live. Isn't that sad? And I'm guilty of it. I know this. These people were doing it too. Then a despised Samaritan came along. Do you know who a Samaritan is? He's a despicable half-breed. He's beneath, on the same level as a dog. Basically, however, I have to admit, I hold dogs in pretty high esteem. But in their opinion, he's about as low. When I was in India, they have caste. The lowest caste is called the untouchables. You don't even acknowledge that they're there. You don't even see them. That's a caste system. You walk by. You certainly don't help them because they don't deserve it. What's interesting, though, is I'll rabbit trail here for a second. When I was in India, there was two examples I can think of right away. One, I was riding a train, a cheap train, all the way down to the south end of India, to anyway. There was a lady sitting across from me and Jacob, who was nose rings, bracelets, diamonds, well-dressed, her and her son. She was very proud of her son, rightfully so. And she got into a discussion in Tamil, language I don't understand, with Jacob. And they were discussing the pros and cons of Christianity as opposed to Hinduism. And she's saying that we are all gods. We just haven't all achieved the same level of godhood yet. So in her mind, she's achieved, much like this temple priest, we haven't achieved, she and I, or Jacob and I, had not achieved the level of godhood that she has. How you achieve it, I'm not sure. But as we're riding along, there's a untouchable that comes crawling along the aisle. He's on his hands and knees, crawling. And he'll stop at each seat. He won't look up. He doesn't dare look up and make eye contact. But he'll hold up his hand and hope for a couple coins, maybe. And nobody was. And he got to us, and I looked at her, and she had this look of contempt on her face. And I reached in my pocket, and I gave basically enough food to get our money to give him a meal, a decent meal. You don't want to give him too much, because when he gets off the train, somebody, they will actually kill you for that money. It's that desperate. But I know that I gave him enough for a meal, and he went on his way. And I looked at her, and she could speak English. I said, so you believe we're all gods, including him. But you won't help this God. But you despise me as a Christian, but I will help your God. And I don't know if it had the impact I wanted it to have on her, but I know I did have an impact. I spoke to her about being a Christian and demonstrated. Why? Not because I had to, not because I was being arrogant or showing off, because I could. I'd been highly blessed. I could help this man a little. Another example was we were going to a meeting, and there Jacob and his entourage, probably five or six of us, were walking. There's this beggar sitting on a wall. He's got his hand out begging. And everybody in our group walks by. Nobody acknowledged him. Went into our meeting. I was troubled by this. I came back out. As we walked by again, he's sleeping. He's laid down on top of the wall and he's resting. Got his hands on his chest. I rolled up a small bill and put it in his hand, which startled him. But he looked at me and he sat up and he says, when I am, Jacob had to translate, he says, when I am asking, nobody's giving. Now that I'm not asking, you are giving. He says, why are you different? And when Jacob translated, I just looked at him and I said, I'm Christian. And the man doesn't speak English, but I said, I'm Christian. And he understood that one word. You know what I got for a response? He smiled, he goes, ah. Was I able to preach the gospel to him? Cost me about 50 cents. Bought him a meal. I don't know. I don't know the results of it, but I know that is the heart that I'm supposed to show when I love my neighbor. Those were my neighbors. Anyway, back to this. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and he saw the man. He felt deep pity. The despised Samaritan, the least of the least, felt pity on a Jew. Now let's just stretch our imagination a little bit here, because it doesn't say, but we can assume that these people have traveled this road between Jerusalem and Jericho before. There's a possibility this man might have met this Jewish gentleman. This Jewish gentleman, being who and what he is, more than likely held this Samaritan in contempt. He may have disregarded him. He may have spit on him. We don't know, but we can stretch it just a little bit and see that in our own lives, we may know somebody casually. Do we hold them in disregard? He felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him. Now, where did that deep pity come from? This is a half-breed. We're talking about a good Jewish man. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged him. Now, other translations say olive oil and wine. We know there's healing attributes to olive oil, and we know that there's an antibacterial in the wine. So he took. Was he traveling to the market? Was the Samaritan going to market? Was this his own personal supplies? Was he carrying his supplies to be sold? Whatever his destination was, whatever his purpose was, he got delayed. He didn't achieve what he was planning on. He delayed himself by choice. He made a sacrifice. I'm on my way. I got to go. I'm sorry. I'd love here. Here's. That's what I did. I tossed some money at the problem. This man stopped. Changed his whole plan for the day. Maybe if he was on his way to Mark, he didn't make it that day. Did he utilize his own supplies? It's interesting. He then bandaged them, his wounds, and put the man on his own donkey. Now, was he carrying supplies, or was he riding his donkey? I don't know. But now, if the man's on the Jewish man is on his donkey, he's walking. That's a sacrifice. Wow. And he took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day he handed the next day. He didn't make it to wherever he was going on time. He sacrificed his own schedule, if you wish, his own needs, his own purpose to take care of this man. And on the next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver, denarii, and told him to take care of the man. Then he said, if this bill runs higher than that, he said, I'll pay the difference for the next time I am here. I did a little research. And the expense that the man put out in time, labor, if you wish, supplies, the cost of taking care of him, the cost of the inn, roughly would, with our rate of inflation today, could come as much as $1,500 is what I read. I don't know if that's true, but still, think about that. Are you ready to give $1,500 to somebody? Yes, you are. This church has done it for me. And I'll never forget it. He told him to take care of the man. If this bill runs higher than that, he said, I will pay the difference the next time I am here. Do you think he kept his word? I guarantee you he did. Now, which of these three would you say was the neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked him. And the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, yes, now you go and do the same. In the Beatitudes, there's a one that says something along the lines, blessed be the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Remember that? Do you think you're ever going to need some mercy in this life when you're passing through? I know I do. And I know I'm going to need mercy afterwards. Go and do the same. Now again, I didn't know Pedro was going to bring up the request that he did. But I'm going to build on that. Doesn't have to be much. But I'm going to ask you, please consider a donation. Please. People are hurting. We've been highly blessed. We can do more. We're good at it. We're good at it. This is what this church does. Right? You saw the hands. You'll never forget this sermon today. Whether it's good or bad, you're never going to forget it because of what happened here, okay? So let's practice what we're good at. We have an opportunity today. I had no idea that was going to come up. Jim played a song earlier. Go make a difference. Go make a difference. Did you hear the words? Did you listen to them? Did you sing them? Did you read them? Did they get a hold of you a little bit? We can go make a difference. Here's the one thing that I find in my own life as a Christian. I love to pray. Oh, Lordy, I love to pray. If you come to me and say, I need a prayer, I'll usually stop and go to prayer with you right then and there. Or I will pull over on the road and go to prayer for you. I love to pray. You know the problem is with me? Hate to say it, but I love to pray. But sometimes I got to struggle to be the answer to that prayer. And he called us to be the answer to the prayer. And he's blessed us so mightily that we can be the answer to that prayer. Hasn't he? Is there anybody here that doesn't own two pair of shoes? What on earth does that have to do with anything you're going to ask, right? Who doesn't own two pair of shoes? Do you know that if you own two pair of shoes, you're rated as being in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world? Isn't that amazing? Because I know for a fact I've got more than two pair. I am so blessed. Been a long time since I missed a meal. I probably could use a couple. I've been blessed. Who here has not been blessed by the Lord? We got people right now in our midst. Our brother John, who seems to be doing pretty well. But you know what? He's going to need our support in the days ahead. He's old school. He's a tough guy. But he's not a rock. He's going to need us. There's others. So, all that said, I know that probably somebody was expecting me to speak on Labor Day. Right? So here's my take on Labor Day. Let's go enjoy our holiday. But let's go make a difference, okay? God bless you. I know it's short. That's okay. We can get out of here early. We can go enjoy our holiday. I'm just going to put out a petition. If there's anybody here today that does not know the Lord as their own personal Savior, I'd love to speak with you. Or others. There's others here that would love to speak with you also. See me afterwards, please. If there's anybody that needs prayer, this is a praying church. This is a church that loves each other. This is a church that loves our neighbors. If you need prayer for anything, if there's a concern, a burden, come forward. We'll lift you up to before the Lord right now. Okay? Is there anyone that's hurting or in need? We'll follow Scripture. We'll anoint you with oil and put hands on and pray for you. Okay. This is your opportunity. Okay. With that, guess what? Church, let's go have a nice holiday. But let's make a difference. Let's look for them opportunities, okay? God bless you, everyone.